This week, we're talking about stuff we think we know about, but in fact, we don't know. From our archives, we've pulled stories of debunkings of stories great and small that have served as cultural signposts, sending us in the wrong direction. Some of these stories seem impervious to change because we like them as they are. They make sense to us. They fit in with what we think we know. Brendan Nyhan is a blogger and political scientist at the University of Michigan. Last year, he was part of a team that studied how people so easily ignore corrections to the record. One study tested a new way to blow past our inborn barriers, but it seems to have fizzled too. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Now, this study is building off previous research that you've done on correcting misperceptions. Research, in fact, that we've covered on the show. But can you give us just a quick rundown of what those earlier experiments showed?
Sure. My co-author, Jason Reifler, and I looked at, can the media effectively correct misperceptions, which seems like a simple question, but no one had really tested that scientifically.
And you found actually that when people had their misperceptions challenged, certain people at least were more likely to become more firmly entrenched in that belief.
That's right. People were so successful at bringing to mind reasons that the correction was wrong, they actually ended up being more convinced in the misperception than the people who didn't receive the correction. So the correction, in other words, was making things worse.
So tell me about your latest study.
What we wanted to understand was whether it was possible to correct the misperception out there that Barack Obama is a Muslim, which has been shown to be held by 10 to 12% of the public, and another 25 to 35% isn't sure if he is a Muslim or not. So what we wanted to do was to see, is it possible to correct that misperception?
And something that we already knew is that you can't say Barack Obama is not a Muslim, that by simply offering the denial, you get nowhere because people tend to forget the not, and the original statement in all its glorious wrongness is merely reinforced.
That's right. The not seems to fade away. The canonical example in politics is Richard Nixon saying, I'm not a crook. And after a while, people start associating Nixon and crook. So we thought the same principle would apply to Obama saying, I'm not a Muslim. What we wanted to do was to test the approach of saying, I'm not a Muslim, against an alternative, which is to say, I'm a Christian.
Sounds like a perfect plan.
It only worked some of the time. When non-white students were interviewing respondents to the study, the message seemed to work. And in particular, with Republicans, the group that was most likely to hold the misperception. But what happened when it was only white students administering the experiment was precisely the opposite. The correction appeared to actually make things worse.
And did you assume that when they said that they believed him when talking to your students who were not white, then your subjects were lying?
We don't know if they were lying, but we do have evidence from a tool that tries to measure people's associations. In other words, their unconscious perceptions of Obama, that when the non-white students were present, people were giving responses that didn't line up with their unconscious associations.
That's a nice way of saying you're suspecting that they were lying.
I'm hesitant to use the L word, but it seems that it may have created an environment that people weren't comfortable saying what they really thought.
And yet, we'll be talking later in the show about the tendency of people to lie about their own racism to pollsters. The Bradley effect is actually a myth.
That's right. That's a very interesting study. It may be the fact that our experiment was conducted in person, whereas most of the polls that go into these studies of the so-called Bradley effect are conducted over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've spent years doing studies on correcting misperceptions, and you also ran Spinsanity, which is a political fact-checking website that was a precursor to sites like FactCheck and PolitiFact. What do you think is the best way to combat misperceptions?
When we were working on Spinsanity, we had a group of readers who were very interested in finding out about political spin. And even then, it was incredibly difficult to get them to accept corrections that targeted the side that they liked the best. So you can imagine how hard it would be with the general public. So what I think is the most effective approach is to go after elites, to shame the people who are promoting these things, who are putting them out there.
You're talking about the punditocracy and politicians, and you're talking about going to the wellspring of these misperceptions?
That's right. One of the things we tried to do at Spinsanity was just to show in excruciating detail how frequently people like Ann Coulter and Michael Moore distorted the facts. And at some point, people have to be cast out of polite society. You have to simply say, that is irresponsible, and we're not going to give you our airtime, our print, to make that sort of a claim. Politicians and talk radio hosts, they're going to push these things when it's in their interest to do so. It's a simple cost-benefit calculation. What I want to do is increase the cost.
So, Brendan, how is this supposed to work? I mean, you're talking about people like Ann Coulter. Surely you're not going to be shaming these people.
They're hard to shame, but we give them access to the megaphone, and the media has to exercise some responsibility in who gets airtime.
Can you give me one example where this worked?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I thought so.
Weapons of mass destruction is better than it was in the aftermath of the war. People who believe that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, it's still out there, but it's a lot smaller than it was.
The reason why I'm asking this question is because this week we're looking back at some enduring myths that have been perpetuated by the media that have been very hard to dislodge. How hard should we be working to correct the historical record, or is it just a Sisyphean enterprise?
There are things that at some point you have to just say it's water under the bridge and we can't undo the damage that we've done. But there are others that keep coming back up. The Obama Muslim misperception is underpinning all sorts of claims and insinuations that are still being made. So there is a continuing relevance to the misperception, and that's why it's so important to keep fighting it.
Brendan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
Brendan Nyhan is a blogger and a political scientist at the University of Michigan.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.